Last Word on Today FM.
Charlie Weston, personal finance editor of the Irish Independent, is with us. And every Wednesday, Charlie, before you come on air with us, you put out a tweet in relation to what you're going to be discussing. And you put out one today. I'm going to read it. So we are rich now. The Irish are the second richest in Europe. It's been calculated that the average Irish adult is worth €320,000. Really, how come we don't feel rich? And the reaction to that, you can only imagine what sort of reaction we got to that particular tweet. Because one says, if I'm not rich, can I make a withdrawal of €320,000? I'm sure I can upgrade my standard of living from struggling to comfortable then.
Yeah, this is a controversial one. There's a wealth management company called Unio who did a study based on a lot of stats, Matt, from the European Central Bank, from Eurostat, Central Bank here, etc. And they worked out the net wealth of Irish people. So in other words, the assets they have, you know, whether they're financial assets or mainly property, actually, and then take away any debts. And it turns out that we are the second wealthiest people in Europe. 30% richer than the British. 30%! And the average net wealth is per adult is calculated at about €323,000. Now, it's up about €140,000 since 2013, which was back in the day when we were recovering from the financial collapse. So people are scratching their heads going, people in this country don't feel wealthy. But there is, Matt, there is a lot of wealth around.
There's a lot of inequality.
A lot of inequality.
Well.
But first off, the wealth, like there's a lot of the over 50s, and it's mainly over 50s, may have paid off the mortgage. They might have got an inheritance. Maybe they're retired and have a lump sum. They're among those people who have the 160 billion euros in the bank.
So there's an inequality here.
And they might have sold a business. An awful lot of people around have sold businesses. There's definitely an age inequality thing. You have maybe half of the population who are very comfortable financially fine, particularly boomers, you know, they're the lucky ones who benefited from house price appreciation. They own a property. That's the key here.
But because then, much of this is property. The issue is then, is that realizable wealth, and that if they wanted to use the money to buy something or to go on a big holiday or whatever, do they actually have the money? Because for a lot of people, their wealth, in inverted commas, is tied up in their family home, which they don't want at any stage to sell, which they want to leave as wealth maybe for the next generation.
Well, that's the whole thing here. If they have property, it perpetuates because they leave it to the kids, and the 50-year-olds at this stage are probably inheriting from their parents.
So, you know, people are inheriting a lot later in life.
But, you know, the average inheritance, according to central banks, is about €100,000.
Which makes a huge difference.
You know, that'll help them pay down the mortgage, and then they can buy the car with cash outright instead of getting a loan. They can go off on a big cruise holiday. But it has to be said, Matt, even those people don't particularly feel wealthy. And there's a hell of a lot of people doing an awful lot worse than they are, and I'll come to that in a second. We don't feel wealthy. Why? Because groceries, electricity, heating oil, rents, insurance, petrol, diesel, all of these things have gone way up. We are the second most expensive country in Europe, as well as being apparently the second wealthiest. Second most expensive. You know, stuff in Ireland is like we're the third highest for food in the EU. You have maybe 30% who are just about coping, Matt, and they've been cutting back and they're finding it a struggle. They're paying an extra €3,000 a year for groceries. They're maybe cutting back on the heating in the winter. And then you have another 20% who are in pretty tight, straitened circumstances. They're probably in arrears on their energy bills. They're behind on rents or mortgage payments. And they're the ones that a Bernardo survey found this week that are really struggling. The 25% of parents, they said, they don't have enough food for the kids. Now, that's quite frightening. 25%. A third of these people they surveyed were in energy arrears. And about 40% are skipping food or reducing food so that the kids maybe have a bit more. And a lot of them are cutting back on social activity. So I think you have three different Irelands there. You have the very comfortable 50% over 50s. You have the middle income who are struggling with the cost of living, and the cost of living is an extreme issue in this country. And then you have a third who, a 20% maybe, who are in real financial difficulty.
Lara in Dublin says, there's always been age wealth inequality. It's Generation X's turn now, let the party begin.
I think it's got worse, Matt.
The gap has gotten much bigger, hasn't it?
It has in the last while. And this country's got, there's no generational wealth here. It's not old, it's new money, really. And that's what's happened. In the last couple of years, the country's got wealthy. There may have been a little bit of old money around, but it was much, much more a minority thing now. There's a larger chunk of people who are doing okay, are doing very well, and then you have a lot of people left behind. So I think it has changed. The profile of it has changed. And we need more explanations about this and more investigations into what exactly is happening. You know, we when people can afford to have so much money sitting in bank accounts earning nothing, and others are struggling to pay bills in the shop every week. You know, it's not a good situation. If the government's saying no cost of living increases this year, but maybe we'll target them at the people who need them, and maybe that's the way we should be going. People who need the help should be getting it.
Well, that's been a long-running argument, isn't it? That an awful lot of the cost of living inflation measures of recent years went to everybody equally, and some people needed them on lower incomes and on middle incomes far more than people on higher incomes, and it's an issue of fairness, and that's one of the things that's been central to the row about the cost of living reductions in the third level fees, which are now about to be reversed. And as we heard from Ben there in the news headlines as well, this was brought up in the Doyle today as well about supermarket prices, because what you said there, if the average family is paying €3,000 per annum more on their shopping bills, it's very unlikely that they've had a €6,000 increase in their income to help pay for that. And I'm taking that on the basis that many of those people will be in the 52% tax bracket.
Exactly, Matt. You know, I mean, the pace that food is starting to go up now at this stage is scary. It really is scary. It's prices are going up at much faster than they were for food and groceries than a while ago. And there's a real effort now for something to be done about this. And at long last, after me asking them for a very long time, the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission are finally going to go back and relook at this again and try and work out what's going on here. Now, there's complex reasons. There's a lot of different things going on. But yes, there's a real struggle for families on this one.
Yeah, but even if they do find out what's going on, will they have the powers to do anything? There is something else that you had a story about today for The Independent as well, for the website. And I know I'll be talking to Ian more about it later, about the government not allowing an increase in personal injury award levels. But from what you're hearing from the insurance companies, will they say that they will act, well, what are they going to do now in relation to the premiums that they charge as a result?
Well, don't hold your breath that they'll cut premiums, because we've seen motor premiums go up for nearly a year and a half now, and we've seen house insurance going up as well. But this is positive, Matt, because the last thing we needed was for higher awards to be paid out. We're already paying out very high awards for personal injuries cases in this country compared with other European countries, particularly Britain. And the judges under what's called the Judicial Council had come up with a crude measure of inflation in the last couple of years, last 3 years, and decided that there needed to be a 17% increase in the award levels, the general guidelines for awards. And the Minister for Justice, to be fair to him, Jim O'Callaghan, has decided he is not going to go ahead with that recommendation. You know, he has to lay down their report on this to the Oireachtas. He has to just put it in the Oireachtas library or whatever. But there's going to be no amending legislation to change this. So that's a win for consumers. It's a win for businesses. It's a win for consumer groups.
And as long as the insurance companies just don't jack up the prices anyway.
This is the problem. They've been pushing the price for ages.
Health insurance, you were telling us the other day. General insurance.
They're complaining on the motor side that damage claims are much more expensive to fix. But, you know, we're never very clear about what exactly they're doing. Are they generating huge profits, or are they moving some of that into their reinsurance units and moving it into their parent companies? We don't know. They seem to be doing extremely well at the moment. So it's all very well to keep the award levels down. And we had a report this week from the Injuries Resolution Board saying that claims are way down. We need to see that passed on to consumers from insurance companies and stop fleecing the rest of us.
Okay, Charlie Weston, personal finance editor of the Irish Independent as ever. Thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word on Today FM.